I've read in the Bible that God stole a sinner's that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Dyer. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Dyer, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Kind of homesick for a country where I've never no sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore.
Before I begin the message today, I want to make a special offer concerning some cassette tapes. At this time, we want to offer the series entitled, The Danger of Delay. In this series, I deal with what has been called sending away your day of grace. Sending away your day of grace means that an unsaved person can say no to God one time too many. And after doing so, that individual, without ever having another opportunity to be saved, departs this world and enters into a Christless eternity. My friend, when an unsaved person goes to church Sunday after Sunday and hears the call of God to come to Christ and be saved, but refuses to do so, one day God will withdraw His call. And after He does, it is impossible for that individual to be saved. And they will one day depart this world without ever having had another opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. This series consists of 9 parts and has been recorded on 5 cassette tapes. And at this time, we're offering this series for a gift of only $9. For a gift of only $9, we are offering at this time the series entitled, The Danger of Delay. And if you would like to obtain this series, simply write to us at the address given at the end of the broadcast, requesting the series entitled, The Danger of Delay. Today, once again, we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And for the sake of saving time, we're only going to be reading 4 verses. That being verses 10 through 13. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Heavenly Father, as we have read Thy Word and are prepared to bring this message, I pray as the Word of God goes forth today, that it will do so in power, and that the Spirit of God will do that which needs to be done in the heart and life of every listener. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the 13th part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Will you be able to stand in the hour of battle? But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now, in the weeks prior to this, we have already stated that here in these various chapters in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little different. Here in chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then, in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here, in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we have 2 things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now, the Apostle Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, condescends to a battlefield. He condescends to a battlefield because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. My friend, the Christian is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And that is what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in this passage in Ephesians chapter number 6. And the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verses 10 through 12 and with the most part of verse number 13. For when we went off the air last week, we were dealing with the last word that is found in verse number 13. And that is the word stand. Now I'm going to say just a little more concerning this particular word stand that is used here in this passage of Scripture. Then I'm going to move on and begin dealing with the various pieces of armor that Paul sets forth in the following verses. Now on the broadcast last week, I pointed out that when Paul here in verse number 13 uses this word stand, he is speaking of the opposite of a cowardly fight. Paul here is not speaking of running and hiding. Paul is not speaking of retreating. But Paul here declares that we as Christians are to face the enemy and fight, not flight. But we're to fight. And we dealt with this matter on the broadcast last week. But at this time, I want to go a step further and say something else concerning this word stand. Now, I want you to notice very carefully here in verse number 13, the Word of God says this: Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, comma, to stand, period. Then you'll also notice that verse number 14 begins with the word stand, because here the Word of God says, stand therefore. Now what is Paul referring to here? My friend, Paul is referring to the fact that when a battle is over, the war necessarily is not over. When a battle is over, the war necessarily is not over. And Paul here is telling the Christian to stand after each battle, prepared and ready for the next battle. That's what Paul is speaking of here in this passage of Scripture. Listen, my friend, the attacks made by the devil upon Christians many times reminds me of a mountain spring. A mountain spring. If you will watch that spring water, you will find that it will flow down the side of a mountain for a little ways on top of the ground. But all of a sudden, it will go underground. But somewhere down the line, that water will surface again. And when we come to the Word of God, we find that many times the devil will attack the Christian. And with all he's got, he will try to destroy that Christian's influence and power and testimony. Then, for a little while, the devil will back off. Or in other words, he will go underground. But somewhere down the line, he will surface again, and the battle will be as hot or far hotter than it was before. And that is exactly what Paul is speaking of here in this passage of Scripture. And here he is telling the Christian to stand after each battle, prepared and ready for the next battle. You see, my friend, the Christian is not to fight with the attitude that he who fights and runs away may live to fight another day. The Christian is not to fight with that attitude. So we find that the Apostle Paul here is telling the Christian to stand after each battle, prepared and ready for the next battle. Now, at this time, having thus far dealt with the encounter in verses 10 through 13, I want to move on and begin dealing with the equipment that Paul sets forth in the following verses. And the first thing that I want to say is this. The book of Ephesians consists of six chapters. And this book can be looked upon or viewed as a big house consisting of six rooms. And when we look or view the book of Ephesians as a big house consisting of six rooms, we find that in Ephesians chapter number 1, we have the dining room. In chapter 2, we have the reception room. In chapter 3, we have the throne room. In chapter 4, we have the jewel room. In chapter 5, we have the music room. And then in chapter number 6, we have the armor room. Because here in chapter 6, Paul deals with the believer's warfare. And Paul, in this passage of Scripture, sets forth the armor that God has already provided for every soldier in his army. Now, if you will read Ephesians chapter 6, you will find that in verses 14 through 17, Paul speaks of six pieces of armor. And if you will study these carefully, you will find that four of these pieces are directly fixed to the body, while two are not directly fixed to the body. Not only that, but you will find that five of these pieces are for the defensive, while only one is for the offensive. Only one is for the offensive. Now listen, my friend. Paul here in this passage of Scripture is using the figure of clothing or the figure of armor to make known spiritual truth. Spiritual truth. And you should remember this when you study this passage of Scripture. My friend, Paul is using the figure of armor to make known spiritual truth. And I've said that to say this. All of these pieces of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture refers to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The whole armor that Paul speaks of here has been provided in Christ. In Christ. And what Paul is emphasizing here in this passage is the fact that the Christian must not fail to appropriate by faith what God has provided in Christ. In Christ. You will notice in verse number 11, Paul uses the expression, put on. Here in this verse, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Then in verse number 13, You will notice that Paul uses the expression, take unto you. Here in this verse he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now Paul is speaking here to those that's already been saved by the grace of God. And by using these expressions here in this passage of Scripture, Paul is telling the believer that if they are going to stand in the hour of battle, they must not fail. They must not fail to appropriate thy faith. Or in other words, make it your own. They must not fail to appropriate thy faith that which God has already provided in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I want to begin dealing with the first piece of armor that Paul speaks of here in verse number 14. And here in the first part of this particular verse, the Word of God says this, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now right here in the first part of this verse, the Apostle Paul speaks about the girdle of truth. Now, if you will study the Word of God, you will find that there are five different girdles spoken of in the Scriptures. Five different ones. But here in this passage, Paul speaks of the girdle of truth. The girdle of truth. Now, I believe I need to say this at this time. In the days of the Apostle Paul, men wore long, flowing robes or garments. And the girdle was that piece that was put up around the waist. The girdle was that piece which held everything else in place. Thus, Paul speaks of the girdle first here in this passage of Scripture. Now, while dealing with the girdle of truth, I want to point out and draw to your attention three things. Number one, when the girdle was not put up around the waist, it meant that the individual was at rest. It meant that individual was relaxing, and they were at rest. But when the girdle was put up around the waist, it meant that individual was ready for action. Ready for action. Here in verse number 14, Paul says, having your loins girt about with truth. And my friend, to gird up is the opposite of slothful ease. So we find that Paul here is warning the Christian concerning slothful ease. Paul, my friend, in this verse is saying, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. That's what Paul is saying here in this passage of Scripture. He is warning the Christian about not being ready for action. For action. You'll notice in connection with this, in Luke chapter 12 and in verse number 35, Jesus Christ said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now what was Jesus saying there? My friend, he was saying, never be caught in a condition in which you are not ready for action. And that is the same thing that Paul is speaking of here in the first part of verse number 14. Now I might say this, my friend. In a time of warfare, one of the worst things is that a soldier be not ready for action. That is one of the worst things. In a time of warfare, most of the people listening to my voice today will remember the fact that it was the Japanese that bombed Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941. But one thing that is overlooked many, many times is the time that they bombed Pearl Harbor. My friend, the Japanese, they did not bomb Pearl Harbor on Saturday at high noon. No, they did not. They bombed Pearl Harbor on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning. And they did this because they knew the Americans had a big time on Saturday night. And that many, many soldiers would not be ready for action on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning. My friend, it's important to at all times for the Christian to have their loins girt about with truth and be ready for action. Be ready for action. That's as far as we're going today with the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? You listen to the broadcast next week, and if God allows, we will bring the 14th part of this message. But in closing today, I want to say this. My Christian friend, it may seem like the devil has backed off from you and that the battle is not raging as hot as it was a little while ago. And if that's so, my friend Paul here says in Ephesians 6, he says, don't be deceived. Paul says, stand ready and prepared for the next battle. Be ready for action at all times. Then if you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you need to be saved today. I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you'll know it. Thank you.